I was talking to someone, and he was a bit sensitive and almost complaining, but he's not a complainer, about the fact that yeshiva students, and from his perspective, balabatim, that are products of the yeshiva, are lacking certain basics in their education. And he boiled it down to a few basic things. And I think that he really hit on, you know, it takes a novi to put it on three yesoides or on one yesoid. We can't do that. But I think he hit on some very significant points, because what he was talking about was a generation, his generation, you know, like the people like in their 40s and mid-40s, around the 40s age, that's his chevra. He says that so many of them, products of yeshivas, and they're observant, religious, frum, I guess that's a word that doesn't say too much about the depth or the extent of their commitment or their appreciation or their understanding or their passion. And but he says, learning, no shaykhs. They don't.
Call them religious atheists?
What? No, he didn't call them religious atheists. No, he didn't call them religious atheists. I don't know where you got that one from, but he says that, you know, he says when it comes to learning, no shaykhs. He says they never learned how to learn. This is a fine balabos, but not, you know, not a Talmud Chochem necessarily. So has a passion for Yiddishkeit, and he learns, and he, you know.
He really had to but convince you about these points.
What? Who? What'd you say?
Said he really had to make his argument well.
What do you mean?
You needed to be convinced about what he was saying. You really needed.
Well, there's one way you don't have to do that. If you make the points that I think are the points. Okay, and that was quite obvious. That's why I'm here to reflect them today, because I think he was right on the mark. So he said they really don't know how to learn, and since they don't know how to learn, they never really learned how to learn. They may have learned, some of them learned a lot, some of them learned a little, whatever. He says they don't know how to learn, so they don't feel a real connection to it. He says, some of them go to Daf Yomi, which is a very good thing, he said, because at least they have some shaychus. But he admitted that, well, we'll see in a moment what we say about that. But anyway, but he says this is a problem. So he says there are three ingredients which he wishes that he and his chevra would have had in their yeshiva experience to make things much, much more, to leave them in a much better place today with their own Yiddishkeit, with interacting with their children, with learning with their children, and so forth and so on. So he says, and he described it to me, that when he sent his son to a yeshiva, he came to a high school, came for an interview, and the different people were there, whoever gives the interview, and he told them what he is looking for in his son's yeshiva experience. So the first thing he says, I want my son to be happy with his Yiddishkeit. Very interesting statement. I want him to be happy with his Yiddishkeit. If he feels that it's burdensome, overwhelming, negative, too restrictive, too annoying, too unsympathetic, too irrelevant, too not speaking to his issues, to his needs, to his interests, to his feelings, to his emotions, to his generation, to his world in which he lives. He says, that can be happy. So he has to find a way that it makes him happy. He feels proud. He runs to the yeshiva because he wants to be there, because he wants to daven, because he wants to learn, because he wants to do mitzvahs. And it brings him happiness. And he says, he said, I don't know how you convey that. He said, but that's something that's critical, because if they have that, that's something that can last for the rest of their lives. He says, that's point number one. He says, point number two, He says they have to, and this is a portion of the Balabos talking. He says that they have to have a what's the words he used? They have to enjoy specifically and be involved in and excited about the learning. He says, if the learning isn't exciting, if the learning isn't challenging, and if the learning isn't teaching them how to learn on their own, he says, then they're going to go on. And once they get out, once they're not obligated to learn by the school system, so they, you know, you get busy, you work, you're busy, you come home, you want to relax, you're this, you know. And he says, and he finds that learning is a thing because I feel it's foreign to me. I don't really know how to do it. I learned so many years in yeshiva, and I feel, okay, he said, art scroll helps a little bit. He says, that's true. It was a good point, because at least the guy feels that I can't really read a Gemara, but art scroll can help me, so I have something. But he says, but there's not a cheshek. And the Mela, okay, some will go to a daf yomi, you sit there, some will learn, some will sleep, some will this, but doesn't have, if they knew how to learn, if they felt, and this is a Balabos describing this to me. He says, if they felt that they, what?
This is down Balabos.
What's that?
You kept all this.
Yeah, no, no, he's a Choshev. No, I only go to Choshev Balabat. Anyway, so he says, and he says that this he says, it'd be a whole different story. They would stay, they would stay by learning. They would always be learning. They always want to learn. They always enjoy learning. You know, Talmidei Chachomim, real Talmidei Chachomim, who get into learning, like, they can't not learn. They enjoy it. They, no matter what they do, they gravitate to the Gemara because I every minute I enjoy it. It's so thrilling. It's so exciting. It's so meaningful. So he says that's something else the yeshiva has to do. And then the third thing he says is that they have to give him a strong foundation in emunah and bitochen. Those were his three things: happiness in the mitzvahs, an enjoyment, an excitement, and a learning how, so they could be excited and happy and involved in it, how to learn. And the third thing, a clarity, a deep sense of understanding of emunah bitochen.
He Did says. Did all of us have prior contact with you?
I would be less than honest if I said no. Okay. Well, I'll tell you the truth. His main contact with me was in the third point, in the emunah bitochen. I really never learned with him or discussed the depths of learning with him because he didn't have that background and he didn't, so it's something he picked up on his own. And in terms of the first point, happiness, I can't tell. I talk so much about it. Maybe I've spoken to him about it too, but nothing overly, only the third point we spent a lot of time, you know, working on. But anyway, but I think, forget who said it, you know, but this, the idea, these are three critical ingredients. And then he said like this, and he said something, he says, very scary. He said, the balabatim that really don't feel they know how to learn, if they have any seichel, because if not, they try to learn with their kids, but I can't really learn with my kid, because what am I going to show my kid? I don't know anything. I guess, hey, what is this word? What does it mean, ani? You know, I said, so they don't want to learn with the kids, so they hire people to learn with the kids. So they give up on the most precious opportunity to bond with their children, which is through learning. So then I told him that I'll never forget one of the seminars that we had, one of these Arachim seminars for the non-religious people. And there was a break in the afternoon on Shabbos for about an hour. And so I used that time to learn with one of my kids. So we were learning in the room that was the main room, the lecture room, the Beis Medrash, whatever that room was. We davened in that room, I don't remember. So all of a sudden, we're arguing back and forth. And my kids, they like to argue. Or they know how to argue, or whatever. Maybe I do too. So they So they we were having a big fight back and forth like this, and I noticed the whole crowd of non-Frum people was gathering around. And after it, they were looking like they never saw something like that. And then one of them said something like, what a way to bond with a child. You know, you bond in baseball, you bond in football, you bond in I don't know what you bond in, you know, in movies. You bond. What do you have? You bond in eternity. This is an eternal bond where we're connecting the way our parents connected, the way our grandparents connected, the way our great-grandparents. It's a whole different story. And he says these guys lose this opportunity completely. And if they do learn with their kids, this is what he's telling me, if they do learn with their kids, he says then their kid loses all respect for them because my father don't know a thing. I don't know what he did so many years in yeshiva. He can't even read a piece of Gemara. Of course, there's another problem which has nothing to do with this. I'm just mentioning Agav. When the guy does know how to learn, and he starts to learn with his kid, and then he tells the kid that that's not the pshat in the Gemara. This is not true. This is not what are you talking about. And the kid starts to think, maybe my Rebbe didn't do a good job, or doesn't know what he's talking about, or doesn't this. That's a big problem. That's why I tell fathers, this has nothing to do with this discussion, that if you want to learn with your kid on Shabbos, the best thing is to learn something he's not learning in school. Because if you learn what he is learning in school, I mean, this is to a person who knows how to learn. You're going to argue with the Rebbe. You're going to say, no, this is not the pshat. What are you saying in this? And so the first time you say, oh, the kid got it wrong. The Rebbe couldn't have said it. But every single week he gets it wrong. And your kid's a smart kid and he knows what's going on. So I have no choice but to think that then you have an assayin. What should I tell him? Should I tell him the Rebbe is wrong? Should I tell him the Rebbe is right and the Gemara is wrong? Or tell him the wrong shot in the Gemara? It's a problem. But that has nothing to do with this discussion. So Lamaisa, he said, these three things are very, very critical.
Why don't they line up?
What?
Why don't they line
up? Why what?
Why doesn't the Rebbe's pshat and the father's pshat line up? If the father really knows how to learn, the Rebbe also knows how to learn, then why don't they line up?
You answer that question yourself. Okay, anyway, I'd rather not go into that question. Okay, so now.
What was the first one again?
What?
Was the first one?
First one, happiness in the mitzvahs.
I thought that was what was the second one?
Second one is knowing how to learn and enjoying it, excitement in learning. These things are poshut, it's poshut the seichel. It doesn't take
very... How they learn during daf yomi together?
What's that?
What? Enjoy learning daf yomi together.
Nobody could enjoy learning daf yomi. Let it be known that the enjoyment of daf yomi, which attracts people, is the siyum. I finished the masechta. But the actual process is not very enjoyable. Because enjoyment of learning, intellectual enjoyment, comes from understanding. And it comes from more than just understanding. It comes from challenge and then understanding. Or it could come from a kasha. And I see, Tosfos says such a good kasha. And I, how could there be a teretz? There can't be a teretz. And all of a sudden, look at that. Wow, there's a teretz. That's where the enjoyment comes from. But if you don't do that, if you're so, you have to go so fast in order to finish, so there's really, you minimize the enjoyment. You know, there's a little bit, you know, it sounds nice and this, but you minimize the enjoyment. So the major enjoyment is, wow, now I finish Kedusha, now I finish the next Mizan, I finish this. And then, of course, we're looking forward to the big Siyum where we're going to participate, you know, and so that's really, unfortunately, the process of learning superficially is not all that enjoyable. So, but that's besides the point. But now, a happiness in mitzvah. So let's analyze. We don't have much time. Let's analyze these three things and see what we could. Well, maybe just a point on each. Happiness in mitzvahs. Okay, now. Burdens are not happy things. Nobody likes burdens. The only way people like burdens or tolerate burdens if they're acutely, keenly aware of what they're benefiting from it. So the benefits of learning are one of mitzvahs are one critical ingredient in order for people to feel happier about it. Because the more I'm getting from it, let me just finish here. The more I'm getting from it, the more that I can appreciate it and then enjoy it because it's bringing me this enjoyment. Number two to keep in mind, we've mentioned this many times. People, especially younger people, have to see the benefits in this world. The younger generation, the young generation, even the last generation, is used to instant gratification. So Memela, if you're going to tell me I'll see it in the next world, that's too far away. So we have to find a way to show that the mitzvahs are beneficial, that they can be enjoyable. I can enjoy a Shabbos. Little kids have to make them enjoy the Shabbos, buy special Shabbos toys for them, special this, special that, do. But somebody described to me the picture of Rabbi Avram Kanarik. He should have a refuah shlema, and Mamsha Godel, and he, when his kids were young, Friday night after the meal, he would be down on the living room floor, playing some kind of, I don't know whether it was marbles or but some games with them like this. The kids' Shabbos was special. My father gets down on the dirt with us, and he's playing with us. I mean, something that makes it so. That's one area, because we're up against the clock. So that's one thing. What?
Do you ever think that it's a special thing for the father to get down?
Well, father was busy during the week. He's teaching, he's this, whatever it is. So Friday night he had some more time. But the fact that he's playing with his kids on Shabbos, it's not the playing. Playing doesn't make the mitzvahs happy. Playing on Shabbos makes the Shabbos a happy place. So that my father is playing together with us instead of screaming, clean up the floor, clean up your toys, you know, like that. So that in itself is something that creates a certain appreciation for the Shabbos. Shabbos of the day, the Shabbos Suda. When people use the Shabbos Suda to talk things and not involve their kids, it's a terrible mistake, you know. Or by the same token, when people enforce the kids to sit there, I know some people who force them to sit fully dressed in their jackets and this, have to sit at the Shabbos table like this, that's already ridiculous. But, you know, if there's conversation going on and the kid wants to go play and it's after an hour and a half already or whatever, so have to balance it so that it should be a positive experience, an enjoyable experience. The same thing with every mitzvah. If there's a joy in the mitzvah, and by the way, joy is contagious. When they see our joy, then they want to do the same thing. So that's one. In terms of the second one, in terms of learning, I think that the focus of, and I think a little bit here I may be preaching to the choir. I hope I'm preaching to the choir. But I think that in the Welt, the focus of learning is, guess what?
To learn.
Okay. There should be something else. There should be a specific focus in the learning. That's not necessarily classes in this, although I'm not sure that wouldn't help. But the focus in the learning of teaching people how to learn. Not everybody is smart enough to, from the learning itself, just because I learned, to pick up the tools that are being used how to learn. So sometimes it's very important to emphasize, to focus. There are certain things you have to know. This is what we do here. This is how we deal with this. This is how we deal with that. And to teach the two things, the skills, and give the people the confidence that they know how to learn, rather than just to feel they learned. If they just learned, it's a thing of the past. If they know how to learn, if they has the tools to learn on their own, then it can be a thing, a lifetime achievement. That's point number two. I think that's also something that's very significant to emphasize. Also, for most Jews, I don't know about the Goyim, but we don't teach Torah to the Goyim anyway. For most Jews, the most enjoyable part of learning is
the challenge.
The challenge, but more.
When you have
arguing. Jews, there's nothing a Jew likes better than an argument, right? To get, not a fight. We're not talking about a fist fight. We run away from that, hopefully. But an argument. It's, I got my idea, you're screaming and yelling. Makes it exciting. So that number one, wow, argumentation does help clarify things, and we see things better because of that, and we learn more understanding and so forth, and there's more appreciation of the concepts because I internalize them. But just the process, for most people, that's enjoyable. And if certain people it's not enjoyable, we've got to find something that they can, or an argument on their level, or some way of involving them, people that may not be up to that. But that's very, very important, because that's where the excitement comes from. But it's not just the arguing. It's the intellectual arguing. It's the concept that I have a problem, I have a question, we argue about it, I said this, you said this, and the seeing the differences in concepts and coming to a realization that I didn't have before, when it's done through an interactive and exciting process, it can be so fulfilling. It's wow, I never thought of that. Wow, I didn't see that. How did I miss that? Wow, it's a whole different understanding. Those kinds of things can be very fulfilling. The third thing that he mentioned, I think, is also important, and that's emphasizing emuna bitochen. I just came back from Detroit, and there's a rabbi there, Rabbi Simcha Klein. Last time when I was there, he gave me a manuscript that he wrote, a small sefer on emuna and conveying emuna to children. I forgot what he called it, what the title was. And I read through the whole thing, and it really is some very basic stuff, but things that we neglect just to let the kids know. You know, to me, the strangest question, or one of the strangest questions I ever heard, was a sophisticated Jew turning to his friend or Rebbe, or they said, "What do we believe about that?" You know, we should know what we believe. Our beliefs should be part of us. We have to know, you know, this is what Yahadus is. You know, Ani ma'amin be'emuna shleima. The things that, basics that we have to know. And it's critical. It's also critical in today's world, despite the criticism that some people have that it's dangerous, but there has to be some sense, for most people need to know some sense of being confident in what we believe, being confident in Torah Misinai, you know, being confident in the Mesorah and the testimony that has come down from generation to generation, and to be aware, not focused and challenged with, and make them, wonder about, maybe not so, but just as they're learning different parshas in the Torah, nevuas and parshas and this, to see, to be mechazik, the clarity, the emunah, that's why I feel.
Why would that be dangerous?
Let's not go into that. That's another discussion, because sometimes raising questions can raise questions in minds of people that didn't have questions, and the answers to them might not be as satisfying as the question was, and therefore you're creating problems. So that's another discussion. Maybe we should have it another time. But
Lemaisa, shouldn't the answer
just
always be able to satisfy?
What?
Shouldn't the answer always be able to satisfy?
Yeah, but it doesn't, because people don't always get it, and they're not always so intellectual, and there's many. It's complicated, you know, especially if you're dealing with a rabbim, if you deal with an individual, so you could sit there and hack it out. Let's see different.
Would there be a time where the answer should suffice?
I don't know. It should, but it
what
doesn't. Not everybody is. Well, that's it. Listen, if you want, remind me. We could have such a discussion next week. But I just want to finish. So that's one area. And unfortunately, the general mood in the chinuch world is taking a lot for granted. That's why I thought this rabbi. Now he gave me. If someone wants to read it, he gave me a manuscript where someone translated it now, and he gave me the English manuscript to look at. And I assume it's as good as the Hebrew one, but it's very interesting. So, and things that, to take stuff for granted is a mistake, because people need to know. And when they have questions and they don't have answers, and when people question them and they don't have answers, and when they don't know basics, they start to feel very disenfranchised and very disillusioned. And so that's something that they need. And the other thing, of course, is bitochen. And I wanted to mention these videos that we have. We showed some of the videos to this session with parents and with machanchim. And people, it's such a beautiful thing. It's like information. There's a goy narrating. We did it because what?
Yeah, right.
He what? No, Ezekiel, the Bible, the from the words, the way he says the words.
It just sounds like someone who doesn't know the Quran.
Okay, but Lemaisa, it sounds, just the fact that it's anglicized makes it less threatening. You know, if it was the rabbi with the heavy accent, or the, you know, he's not brainwashing, he's not doing anything that. And then, okay, so one more thing, and then, I just want to finish this. Hello, 1 second. And then, a very neglected concept in the world of chinuch is bitochen. I don't know why, But people are either afraid of bitochen. I don't know why they're afraid of the word. People, maybe they're afraid that it's not gonna happen or something. I don't know why. But that fear, they almost like bury it, negate it, like it's not relevant. It's not, we don't talk about those things. Or, well, all it means is that Hashem's in control of everything. Well, that's emuna. What are you telling me? What's the difference? What's going on? Something that also has to be. And anyway, this is what a guy, a balabos, who has little experience, who has children, yeshivas, felt. And I happen to think that he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.